Pippa Hudson. Lines are always open on 021 446 0567.
50 years this Sunday, it'll be, since the world woke up to headlines of a successful human heart transplant. Dr. Christian Barnard performing that procedure at Groote Hospital on the 3rd of December, 1967, transplanting the heart of accident victim Denis Darvall into his 53-year-old patient, Louis Washkansky. Washkansky lived for another 18 days before he lost his life to pneumonia. But really, the legacy of that nine-hour-long operation was much, much bigger than any of the individuals involved. And world medical experts are gathering in Cape Town to reflect on that and to acknowledge the significance this weekend. We'll find out what the hospital is doing and what they're going to be discussing in just a moment. But I know for many of our listeners, it's a day you will remember very clearly. And if you'd like to share with us your thoughts that day, your memories, what you thought when you heard the news, whether you were aware at the time of just how groundbreaking a procedure this was and what it would mean for medical science. You're most welcome to share your views by SMS to 31567 or by giving us a call to 021-446-0567. Two people I'm going to be chatting to. One of them is the current CEO of Groote Hospital, Dr. Bhavna Patel. Welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's a great pleasure. And also on the line is the hospital's head of cardiothoracic surgery, who is deeply involved in organizing the symposium this weekend, Professor Peter Ziller. Welcome to you as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Patel, if I may start with you, to reflect on the significance of the operation. I mean, this was an event that was not just about grabbing world headlines. It also really pushed the boundaries of science and of medicine in a huge way. Could you start by reflecting a little for us on just how significant it was?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think any innovative event, and particularly in this case, it was a true innovation in that it had never been done in the world, and it was a world first for Professor Chris Barnard. So certainly the event placed Groote Hospital and the University of Cape Town on the map, and we've enjoyed the limelight for 50 years because of that event. So it has certainly helped transplantation, and I think not only heart transplantation, but transplantation of many organs where, you know, the sort of tried and tested was now able to be taken further. So it was a sort of foundation that was laid by Professor Chris Barnard for other future innovators.
Dr. Patel, I mean, I don't think you can underestimate the courage of the medical team involved. And as much as it was the courage and the vision of Chris Barnard, of course, it was a much bigger team of people involved. Can you talk to us a little bit about the risks that they faced going into that procedure? Because it was the great unknown that they were exploring.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, we always speak about Chris Barnard, but indeed there was a huge team that worked with him that made this successful. And I think the risks related particularly to it being experimental and whether it would be successful or not. They had done experimental operations on animals prior to that, but this was a first human-to-human heart transplant. So that was the first risk. Then obviously the risk, and especially at the time when this was a large unknown, the ethical dilemma that everybody faced about transplantation of organs and, you know, I think the general sense in the scientific world at the time about experimental procedures. You know, it's interesting when you speak to staff. We actually had two staff members with us today who were in the theater on that night. Yeah. And they both reflected and said that they didn't know what they were doing when they were in the theater doing the operation. They didn't realize that this was going to be such a groundbreaking event. And it was only after the operation was done that they realized what they had been involved with. So I think the tension was really kept close to Professor Barnard's heart himself. But the team worked with him, and Sister Lambrecht said, they only realized afterwards what a great thing they had accomplished.
What an extraordinary story. Professor Ziller, if I can bring you in at this point as the cardiothoracic surgeon, can you talk to us a little bit about the impact for your branch of medicine that day 50 years ago had?
Yeah, first of all, it brought heart surgery for the first time to the open, because people were not even aware that we could operate hearts at that time. Cardiac surgery was the new kid on the block. It needed the technological developments after the war. And without the heart-lung machine, one couldn't do any open-heart surgery. So, in fact, the first open-heart surgery was done only a few years before the first transplantation. And transplantation was a sort of entering the stage with a bang that everyone realized we have now open-heart surgery. But what it also did was it forced everyone to address the issue of when is a person dead. Until then, everyone assumed when the heart stops beating, a person is dead. Today we know that all our donors have beating hearts and are still dead. So only the very fierce, and they were very fierce, because I remember as a high school pupil of those days, the day after the first transplant in Austria, for instance, it was unbelievable how angry the debates were, because people had to confront the fact when is a person dead. And now we know it. This first transplant really forced us to think it through, and now we have defined it as brain dead.
Okay. Professor, you've mentioned one of the key things here, the question of when an organ can be harvested, when somebody is declared dead and that becomes an option. It remains a stumbling block to this day. I know that there are many, many people waiting for donations, not only of hearts, but of other organs as well, and not enough donor organs available for those in need. It's particularly severe a problem in this country, isn't it?
It is. We have a few countries in the world which are, from the transplantation standpoint, are lucky. That is Spain, France, Austria, more Catholic countries where everyone is automatically a donor. And that led to a situation that a small country like Austria with 8 million inhabitants has the biggest lung transplant program in the world now. Outside those countries where we need consent, the more multicultural society is, the more difficult it becomes. But there is a second level to it. While 50 years ago we were very passionately involved in discussions about the ethnic side of it, in today's world we have a very self-centered and egotistic world, and therefore many people don't bother to even think about death and don't think about the possibility of organ donation. So the combination of making it a voluntary contribution to society and at the same time expecting people to have thought about it, those two together have really led to a dramatic drop in donor organs.
It's very worrying, and I just want to remind listeners, please, if you haven't thought about it, do so now, and please visit the Organ Donor Foundation's website, odf.org.za, for more information. There's a great deal of info and frequently asked questions answered on that site, and I really would encourage you to go and take a look. I signed up through that site. It only took a couple of minutes, and I emceed their fundraising walk, the Organ Donor Foundation, just this past weekend, and it is always incredible for me to be at that event and meet people who have received donor organs, who speak about how their life has changed, and the people who donated them in some cases. And also, it is always very sad to meet people who are waiting and sometimes losing hope that it will ever happen. So please visit odf.org.za for more. Professor Ziller, the big symposium this weekend, I've mentioned several hundred delegates from all over the world are converging on Cape Town and on Groote Schuur for this this event. What is actually on the agenda? What are you all going to be discussing?
First of all, we are overwhelmed to see that most of these celebrity surgeons from all over the world have actually invited themselves. They want to be here. They say this is a big honor to them because it means so much. On the agenda is not only the celebration of the event on Sunday, where we have all the big pioneers of the last 50 years in heart surgery here, and we asked them to tell their stories. How was it when they came up for the first time with a new idea? How many people said they are crazy that they even thought about that? And what did it take that it eventually became a success? But the much more fascinating topic will be on Saturday, where we have the same group of people focusing for an entire day on ways and means to bring heart surgery to the many people in the world who suffer from rheumatic heart disease, and they are more than sufferers of from HIV, and people don't even know it, that how can we bring heart surgery to them, which is for a high percentage of them the only life-saving means. So first of all, to create awareness for the fact that there is a disease called rheumatic heart disease, which is a disease of poverty, which destroys the heart valves of the poorest of this world, and how can we help them, not only to prevent it, but if they have it, how can we get them to get a heart valve replaced, which is destroyed.
Professor Peter Ziller, thank you for chatting to us, head of cardiothoracic surgery at Groote Hospital and the head of the symposium happening this weekend, which will end, the vision is for it to end with the signing of the so-called Cape Town Declaration, binding all of those medical stakeholders to spreading the benefits of heart surgery around the world. Dr. Bhavna Patel, CEO of the hospital, just in closing, a very busy program, not just the symposium that Prof. Ziller's told us about, but of course you have these various memorial events and members of the original transplant team there. Are any members of Chris Barnard's family involved in the events this weekend?
Yes, so they are involved in the various events, and some of them joined us this morning. Some of them will be at the symposium. Some of them will be at the gala dinner on Sunday night. So they are very much a part of the event, yes, and enjoying every minute of it.
Dr. Bhavna Patel, thank you for your time as well today, CEO of Groote Schuur Hospital. And one thing that is still on my Cape Town bucket list to do is to pay a visit to the Heart Transplant Museum at the hospital, which I'm told is an absolutely fascinating place to visit if you have any interest in medicine or in history at all. So that is recommended to add to your list as well. Thank you, Michelle, on our WhatsApp line, saying my father was MC Buerta, who was the hematologist and immunologist on that team. Hearing you talk takes me back to him and to that time. I was only 7 years old. Michelle, thanks for reaching out to us. And I don't know if your dad is still with you at this point, but if he is, it's a very special weekend for him and anybody else who was involved in those momentous events 50 years ago this Sunday.